Okay, so for introductions, I'd like to just kind of get a feel for the room, who's in here, and what are your roles. So how many of you have taught more than 2 years? Okay, how many of you are new to teaching or it's the first year? All right, next question, how many of you are in a principal role right now or a head teacher role? Like you are expected to kind of lead out, okay? Okay, so this is helpful. So some of you are fairly new to teaching, but you're also being asked to be the leader in the school, right? Kind of spearheading things or I'm not sure what you've been tasked to do. I remember I taught at Osceola for 2 years, and our principal at the time, he told me, I'm gonna train you. You're going to be the next principal because hereafter I've taught for 6 years, I'm taking a one-year sabbatical. And I've already told the board that years ago, and that's how it's going to be. So he was prepping them for that. And he said, once that happens, you're going to have to be principal. And when I first started, I was like, I don't think you have the right person for this because I had to come in to teach long-term. It kind of grew on me after a while. But what was really interesting for me is that as I began to realize, okay, next year I'm going to be principal. They're asking me to do this. I don't know what they're doing. Like, I had worked alongside Mr. Weaver for 2 years. I still didn't really know for sure. In my mind, I didn't have clarity of what that role meant. And I kind of had to dig for myself. So I started asking a lot of questions. I'd come to events like this, and I would ask people, so what does a principal do? And so I'm guessing some of you are asking the same question. And sometimes after you've been in the role for a year or two, you're still sometimes asking the question, what is it really that, like, can I define what that is? And I'd like to look at that, but I would like to backtrack a little bit and maybe talk a little bit about board structures and see where do you fit under a board structure, because that might give us a little bit of clue of where we're going with this. So, my objective is, first of all, to help you as, I'm just going to call you principals, whether you're called a head teacher or principal, whatever your school uses. For the sake of the conversation here, you're the leader in the school. You're the leader on the grounds, right? So, help principals understand the dynamics of different school board structures, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. And then hopefully equip you with some clarity of what your primary role is as a leader. Now, the detailed roles could vary from school to school, but your primary role, you should at least have clarity about what the primary role is, and then maybe give some tools for helping you learn how to communicate or give direction leadership in the areas that you are asked to be a leader in. Okay, so I've got another question for you. How many of you teach in a school that has 35 students or less? Okay, how many of you have more than that? Okay, how many?
Like 40-something.
40, okay, so in the neighborhood. So we're all in schools of students with 40 or less. What, how many?
I have about 60.
60, okay, so you would be a bigger school, yeah. All right, and where I teach, there's about 80 students. So this is helpful to understand because smaller schools just require a different structure and often they function differently. And that's where I want to start at. Okay, so one thing I didn't clarify. Most of us, probably all of you, teach in a church school. And the church puts together a board, and then that board is required to run the school. And I'm going to call this structure the operational board. In the operational board, they often work very closely with the church, but they're also hands-on. The board will actually do things. They might actually order the books, do all the hiring, handle the payroll, handle the finances, right? So in an operational board, they're very hands-on. So I'm just going to call this hands-on they're involved in the day-to-day work. And they might actually serve as the administrator for the school. They might even, in some cases, be the principal for the school. They hire the teachers, but one of the board members is working as the principal. They do budgeting, financing. They do, like I mentioned, they do a number of things, and they're very hands-on. They're actually involved in the school. And for many of us, that becomes so normal. That's all we knew as we grew up, and we don't even know that there is a different structure. But as you learn about boards and what boards do, there are other structures that people use that may give you clarity. And what happens is, in almost every situation, there's not a board that is exactly this or exactly this other model. There are a number of models that can be used. So I'm going to just call this one the governing board. There are other terms for this. Sometimes it's called a traditional board. But the main thing here is the church puts together a board that's going to run the school, and then the board delegates. So they may write a handbook. They may come up with policy. And then sometimes they have subcommittees. So I'm just going to write that down here. Subcommittees. But the board itself doesn't actually do any hands-on stuff. They talk about things, they decide things, they create policy, they write it down, and then they deliver it to the people who will handle it. Now, sometimes in the board, they create subcommittees, and the subcommittees do some of the day-to-day work. So there might be a financial part, there might be a, in our school, we have one that does the events. And so the financial part, we also have a separate subcommittee that does helps with the hiring. And usually the hiring has one of the financial officers in it. But these people don't actually do the work unless they've been delegated into a subcommittee, and the subcommittee handles some of those kind of jobs. But the key thing is this: there's a governing board that sets the direction and creates somewhat of a guardrail within which they want the school to run. And it has a lot of policies written, handbook written, and then they hand all of that off to an administrator. And then the administrator works with a principal. And sometimes that's the same person. In my case, I was the administrator. I was also the principal in our school. We've actually kind of evolved from this to this over a period of 4 or 5 years, because the school used to be this way, and they said they want to go to this, but it's going to take a while just to transition. And it took a while to get there, and along the way, I was the principal. I was hired as the principal under this function, and along the way, at some point, I was asked to be administrator as well as principal. What is interesting is sometimes this gets pretty muddy, and you don't always know where you're at. And at some point, they were expecting me to function as administrator, but I didn't know I was the administrator. And that's why I think it's really helpful to gain some kind of clarity. What is the role of a head teacher? So now, let's say one of these is principal. It doesn't really matter whether you're in this structure or this structure, or whether you're somewhere in between. You have a mixture of one of these. It doesn't matter. The clarity you need to gain is, who are you within the structure, and where do you fit in the structure? The key thing is, you need to understand that we're under some kind of authority. And the church is under the authority of Christ. Christ is our head. And the church has delegated the education of our school children to a board. The board works together, and they come up with some kind of vision, and you fit underneath the board. If you have an issue, you could go talk to a brother, but the proper place, your proper structure of authority is up from you, and you go talk to the board chairman. And so, whoever, if you're a leader in the school, some some degree, you need to learn to work really closely with the board chairman. Have a good relationship with him. Of course, you're going to interact with the other board members, but you're a key person to connect with is the board chairman. That person needs to know what you're thinking, what you're seeing, what you're noticing, and if you have questions, that's the first person you go to. Even if there might be another board member you feel more close to and might be easier to talk to, go to the board chairman. It's the person that has been delegated and has been made responsible to take that role. And so if you keep that clear, number one is you build a relationship with the board chairman. And then underneath that, there's a number of things that we'll talk about here. So I'm going to ask maybe for some interaction here. Think of some things that you think of so far that probably feel like the most important piece. If I want to be a principal, the most important duty I have is what? Responsibility. What do you do? You're the head of the school. So what do you do?
Teach.
Okay, you teach. Thank you.
Make sure the lady teachers don't get wore out on discipline issues.
Okay. All right. So you're actually
the difference between like involving parents and that kind of stuff.
Okay. So you're really kind of leading any kind of disciplinary issues, right? Okay.
Told me.
Oh yeah, sure. That's good. This is a good review right here.
Like the spiritual direction of the school.
All right. And did you notice what he said? Of the school. Not of your students in your classroom. We'll get to that in a minute. What else do you do?
As a head, the books get ordered.
Okay. So we're going to just do. That's fine. Order materials. Might be a soccer ball too, right? What else do you do?
Lead out program choir.
Okay, so you're expected to lead in public school functions, kind of, right? At least program and choir. So I'm going to write down leadership. Now, can you help me understand what types of leadership you might need to lead in? Does that help you? Give me some ideas. What kind of leadership do you have to give to a school? Give me some support. So, okay, you said programs? Anywhere else that you're going to do any kind of leadership?
Devotions.
Devotions, all right.
Sports.
Okay. Can I write PE, physical education?
Back when I was a student, we always said fire drills.
Fire drills, yep. Back up now a little bit, and I want to think specifically in your role, because I know we're getting a little bit into the details, but I would like us to get the big picture first. Your first job is not to teach, even though when the school board came to you and asked, "We'd like to hire you to teach in this particular classroom, and you will be responsible for grades 7 and 8 or high school or whatever you are teaching, and along with that we would like you to take on the role of head teacher." Typically, what they ask you is, can you teach, right? Would you be willing to teach? And that is what a large majority of your time is spent doing, right? You spend a lot of time actually pulling out books, preparing for classes, interacting with your set of students, and then you know, you might be responsible to produce report cards or whatever, but your first job is not to teach. If it isn't the first job to teach, what might it be? Do you work with a team?
Communication.
So communication. You talked about making sure that the other staff members don't get burned out with disciplinary issues or even connection. Okay, so I should just put that on here, communication. There's one thing that's not on here, and that is lead the staff. So this one is not number one. This one, lead the staff, is still not number one. Your number one job as a school leader, as a principal, is to look out for the spiritual direction of the school. This is your first job. And if that's your first job, it changed your perspective, right? Because now all summer long you've been looking at history, science, and English books, and you're preparing yourself for teaching and leading. Or you might be getting to know the staff members and trying to help them and try to offer to serve them and talk to them about school culture and how you want to do things and organize the structure. You might do a lot of things that helps the staff do a good job. Still not your first job. Your first job is to look out for the spiritual direction of school. And all of a sudden you realize, well, I wasn't even told that. Or maybe you were, I don't know. And if that is your first job, are you prepared for it? What does that actually look like? Because when I discovered this, I was asking a lot of people, what is a responsibility, the responsibility of a principal? And when I heard that, I said, I'm not ready for that. That feels overwhelming. Because now all of a sudden you have to look at all kinds of other things besides, and you have to take on a big picture view, a bird's eye view of the situation. And so if you want spiritually healthy school, I think it's very important, number one, to understand your relationship with the board. That's why I started off with this. Do you have a good relationship with your board chairman? And I would recommend you on a very practical level, if you're new to this and you're going to start doing this role, that you would talk or meet with your board chairman every single week, even though they have meetings once a month or whatever. You meet with that board chairman once a week and talk to him, just understand, tell him what's going on this week. If you have any kind of questions, anytime you don't know for sure how to handle the situation, ask them, and ask them if they're okay if you have their number on your speed dial. My first year as principal, we had a board chairman who understood my situation and understood that I may want to call him middle of the day, middle of any situation, and ask for advice. He said, you can have me on speed dial, and he literally answered the phone in 2 or 3 seconds every time I called that whole year, unless he was really busy. But I was on speed dial, he put me on priority, even if he was on a business, whatever, he would answer that phone in. That meant so much to me, but he offered it to me, and I'm just going to suggest it to you. Ask your board chairman, are you okay if I have you on speed dial? And anytime throughout the day, if I have a situation that I don't know how to handle, this is my first year doing this, do you mind if I just quickly call you so that I don't leave something undone or I do something rash that you wouldn't support? Just have somebody to collaborate with. That is so valuable. And that way, this board chairman probably has more experience than you do in handling students or handling tough situations or handling staff issues or handling parents. And they can offer to help you. If they sense that you're not comfortable, they might say, well, look, it's not that hard. You either have this or this choice. I often didn't even know where to go. Like, I didn't even know what the first right step was. But that was really, really helpful for me because he said, look, that's not complicated. You either have this choice or this choice. And all of a sudden, I knew what to do because he just simplified it down to two things. And that was really helpful. So, connection to your board chairman. Now this makes sense. Why do you have connection? Because he is also very interested in the spiritual direction of your school. He has been tasked by the church to handle that part. And if the spiritual direction of the school goes downhill, a lot of other things will go downhill too, right? Okay, so you already noticed that I made this number one. So let's look at this list. What on this list falls into this category?
Communication.
Okay, so communication already falls into the category of number one.
Leadership?
Leadership, yes. Okay, you're going to be asked to be the leader. You're going to have to take on the mentality. I am the leader here. I'm expected to be the leader here, which means that if you felt like, oh, I don't know how to do this stuff, I'm going to tend to be very timid, put that aside. You've been asked to be the leader. Step up to the plate and do what you're asked to do. What else is on here? Spiritual devotions. You see that? So you need to think about that. Programs. Are there spiritual things that happen there? It's the worship time. It's preparing the students. You want them to be in a mindset that will lead towards a worshipful time or blessing the community, giving back to the community in such a way that blesses them, right? So yes, there are a number of things here that all lead towards spiritual direction of school. And that's, you carry the weight of that, even though you don't carry necessarily all the responsibility of that. Okay, fire drills is related to something, and I'll put that up here. Let's just write down safety. Safety is really related to the whole spiritual direction. Let's talk a little bit about safety. Mention a couple things under the category of safety besides fire drills that you would need to look out for.
We used to do lockdown.
You used to do lockdown? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And tornado drills.
Okay. What other areas?
I know one thing, one of my teachers did. So if somebody, just like a random person was trapped at school, he always made sure he met him outside the classroom.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You are the point of contact for the school. All right. Okay. So I might just mention meet visitors, right? What other areas of safety?
Moral boundaries between boys and girls.
Yes, okay. So just moral safety. Let's just put that one. Moral safety.
Looks like that would be physical safety.
Physical safety. So playground. Is the building safe? Is there something, right, okay. Or how they play. How far do you let the boys go with rough and tumble play, right? All those kind of things.
And if there's injuries, I am responsible to contact the parents.
Yep, you're responsible for the safety and injuries, so we have emergencies, right? Okay, so you kind of get the picture here that this is really related to a lot of the leadership. And if these things are done in the context that I'm a spiritual leader in this situation, you'll think about them differently. This helps you maybe realize your connection to God, your ability to have habits and structure in your life to where you regularly take care of yourself. And when you get stressed out or when you're overwhelmed, that you know, hey, it's time for me to pull away a little bit and make sure that I get reconnected, I'm hearing from God, or that I have peace, or that I have whatever you need. Your struggle, you need to handle your struggle as well, which means, number one, you have to be the spiritual leader of your own life. You have to take charge of your own spiritual well-being so that you can lead others well. And then what comes after that is leading the staff well. Are the staff being taken care of? Are the needs there? And in many of your cases, there's probably a board member that is designated to, maybe the board chairman, that is designated to connect on a regular basis with the staff, the whole staff members. If there's three teachers, that board member, when he shows up, he may actually come and visit all three classrooms and talk to all the teachers and just see how they're doing. And they'll be doing a lot of assistance on that level that may actually take some of the load off of your back. However, whenever they're not there, your eyes should be open. And if you notice that there's a student that's disrespecting a teacher, you should be willing to step in there and save their back and help support them, help the child realize this is, or if there's a parent that's quite upset, be willing to step in there, be in the gap. I'll give you one recommendation. My favorite book that I read before I became a principal, it's a short little booklet in a story form, The Way of the Shepherd by Kevin Lehman. The Way of the Shepherd by Kevin Lehman. L-E-H-M-A-N, probably. It's easy. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it on Kindle. It tells the story of a young man who was graduating from college and was fixing to take on a leadership position in a big firm, and he realized that he had a big team to lead. He was not sure if he was ready, so he went to one of his instructors and asked, "Would you mentor me in preparing for this particular leadership role?" This older gentleman said, "You know what? I'll do it, but you'll have to come to my house, my farm in Texas, and I'll do it at my house." And he was a sheep farmer, and he used shepherd analogies, and he would get this young man out into the field, and they would tag the sheep, and they would look for problems. And he talks about specific things, and one of the things that he talks about is when you have a team, if there's a staff member, and this staff member, you notice they're going through something tough, and you know what's hard about it, especially if there's a parent relationship that's really tough, be willing to step in the gap and be there for them and take the brunt for them. Often, if there's a parent that has an issue with a teacher or a situation, the tension between those two is going to be pretty high, right? Because the stakes are high. One says, "This is my child." The other says, "This is my student." And now they're both very deeply emotionally invested, right? But what if you step in there? "It's not my student. I can keep cool. I can come up and I can listen to you and say, hey, I would like to hear what's going on." And you use that curiosity level and you ask them. And then you go to the teacher and you can be a liaison or the in-between person and really help kind of buffer that if it gets too challenging. And just offer that. Like, even if they're handling it well, just go back and offer, "Hey, I noticed you had this relationship. How's it going?" Be willing to step in and offer to listen to your teachers. I don't know how you all feel about doing that, especially when you're the male teacher and there's young ladies, and as you as young men, you know what that's like. Okay, so will this young lady think I'm interested in her or what? Like, you have to think about keeping your relationships professional and wholesome, but they will always appreciate when you professionally reach out to them and offer to care for them in that way. It doesn't have to be awkward, is what I'm trying to say. You should be able to do it in a healthy way without giving cues that you're interested in. Now, if you do get interested, that could be a whole different story. That's not what I'm here for. God has a path for you in that too. Okay. One thing that I didn't talk about a lot is after leading the staff, okay, we talked about teaching, but even under teaching, if you're the lead teacher, the head teacher in a school, I think even before teaching your lessons, you have one more responsibility, and that is to connect with students relationally. You want to build a relationship with all the students, and so student relationships. I recently encountered a gentleman that had been a teacher at a private school, not Mennonite, in California. And he had been a youth pastor at this church for many years, and this school grew to having 300 students, and he was the principal of 300 students. He said, now you have to understand this wasn't a Mennonite context or Mennonite culture, but he said it was his goal to touch every student every single day. He physically touched every student every day. And I was chatting with him, it was in a work relationship, he understands our culture fairly well. I said, "I don't know if that would be appropriate in my context. I can touch all the boys, but me touching all the girls is probably not appropriate in our setting. But what can you do that tells that student that you care for them, and that you're there for them, and that you want a relationship every single day?" There's a couple things you can do. And that is when you greet them. That you greet them, you look in their face, you smile, and you give them that, "You belong here. I'm glad you're here." You give them that personality. And if you can do that on a daily basis, you are establishing rapport for the times when you have to be the person that sits down with them and talks to them, right? So have a daily interaction with every student that you have. Sometimes you don't get all of them, but you can get close. And that, I think, is really helpful. For many years, so in our school, we do these different, every school probably does some different about good morning in the morning. They walk in the door. I've heard some teachers, they stand outside the door as the students show up and they'll handshake or do a little fist bump or do some kind of interaction with every single student and say good morning to them. My classroom, I have high school and there's 20 students in there and I'm often at my desk and doing my thing. And I wanted the students to learn to take the responsibility or the initiative to say good morning. And some did and some didn't. And so then on the mornings that I was thinking about it, I would reach out. Well, the last 2 years that I taught, I just said, I'm going to change that. I'm going to take full responsibility. I'm not going to tell them that I expect them to. I'm just going to take full responsibility that I'm going to say good morning to every individual student that comes in the door. And by me doing that, when they walked in, I knew I had made up my mind. I'm not going to have my nose buried in a book. I'm going to actually look up when they come in. I'm going to say, good morning, Rosa, and they walk in, and I say that to every student. When you greet them and you use their name, they kind of have to look at you. And they probably will respond. And it instills a habit without any negative connotation. You didn't ask them to. You didn't make them. You just do it. And every once in a while, you have a student that, maybe a few students that walk in, and they would rather not look at you. And if you don't say something, they will just slip in and quickly put their stuff away and slip back out. This is older students, right? Younger students might not be so much that way. And I'll just do it twice. Act like they didn't hear me. And I'll have a big cheery smile on my face and say, good morning, whatever. And they'll look at me and they'll say good morning. And that way, I'm instilling in them that I care about you. I'm glad that you're here. It's a small thing. You smile, you look at them, you call them by their names. Those are some things. But student relationships, and then as you go into teaching, now you're doing the thing that you thought you were going to do anyway, right? This is what you probably spend 80% of your time doing. 20% of your time is spent doing some of these other things. And maybe this is even as high as 90%, I don't know. But this isn't, just because proportionally in time is what you spend the most time doing, that is the most important, is not necessarily the case. Okay, so we talked about communication to the board, communication to the staff. How many of you do regular staff meetings? Once a week? Some of you don't do staff meetings? Okay, so if you don't do staff meetings, do you talk daily after school? Like when the students leave, you're standing around, you're chatting a little bit. Where do you talk? When do you talk? Do you meet for prayer in the mornings? How many of you meet for prayer in the mornings? I know a few schools do that. We don't do that in the mornings. Most of my teachers like to be in their classrooms getting ready or meeting students. How many of you have board meetings that you have to go to board meetings? All of the staff? Yeah. Is that once a month, maybe? Okay. Now, I can see that the smaller a school is, when you have two or three teachers, that staff meetings might not be quite as key. We do staff meetings, and I lead the staff meeting. And the key part is knowing what do you want to accomplish there. And we use a certain format. This format may be helpful if you don't have anything at all. I haven't thought about this. I didn't prepare for this. But I think staff meetings are very important. And if you need something to talk about in a staff meeting, if there's a little bit of a structure you can use and you can dedicate X amount of minutes for this at least once a week. Now, what really helps in our school is on staff meeting day, there's a mom that brings a snack. And so there's a snack, and there's a reason for us to stick around. There's a reason for us to sit down, and now we're going to talk. And this is the time to bring up any issues. And so, especially when you have more staff members, if it's two or three teachers, you go talk to the person that you need to talk to and figure it out and move on, right? But if you have eight or nine teachers, and they all have their issues, they could bring them to me all week long. But if they know that there is an hour dedicated on Thursday after school, where we'll spend 1 hour together. And during that hour, there'll be a time, specific time, where we say, are there any issues you want to bring? and we actually use a system on our computer, but it could be done on paper or on a whiteboard, and you just start making the list. Is it anybody have issues? And then you just write down issues on the board, and you make bullet points, and you just put down all the issues, and then you decide which ones you want to start with. Prioritize. Okay, which is the first one you want to go with? And talk about that one. What's helpful when you have issues, to be sure that you don't jump to solving mode if there is need for discussion. Try to understand the issue first before you jump to solving mode. Sometimes we can just quickly solve, but we haven't really listened or we haven't fully identified what the problem is. So issues can be handled that way. Sometimes they're delegated, right? Especially if you're the head teacher and it's a safety issue. You jot it down and you make mental note of it, or you put it on a sticky note, and after a staff meeting, you reach out to a board member and say, hey, there's this issue, can you make sure, or if it's a maintenance issue, and you pass it on to the right people. If it's ordering, you know, those kind of things. If it's a relational issue, I like to, and I didn't talk about this a lot, but along with that is where sometimes the tension comes out, where which parent or which student is having some issues. And then you can decide, do I need to go talk to the board member about this, or do I need to just reach out to the parents to make sure that everything is communicated and so forth. Communication with the board, communication with the staff, communication with the parents, and rule number one for communication is when in doubt, over communicate. Very often, we think we've already announced it. We've already said it. Everybody knows it. But when in doubt, over-communicate. And if, I don't know if your school uses a WhatsApp group, or if they have an email group, or if they have a texting group, but you can communicate something here, and there might be another group, or should you still announce it in church? Well, if you're not sure, go ahead and announce it in two places. Use the format you use for announcements for school, and go ahead and announce it somewhere else if it needs to be done. Over-communicating is always kind. Under-communicating and having a few people discover that they didn't know and they wish you would have told them, but you did, they just didn't get it, isn't very kind. And so over-communicating is kinder than doing the opposite, right? A few things that have really helped me in this idea of what does a principal do is to create a document that I call the three W's. Our school calls it the three W's, of the who, what, when document. It's basically a time to this document, and we just start with a bold listing. It says August. Well, actually, you can start anywhere. You can start in July if you want to, but August is usually when school starts. Right, August, and then underneath, have a list of things that need to happen in August. And at the end of it, write down maybe the date it needs to happen, or for sure, write down who's responsible. Is it the school board, or is it the principal? And then just have a whole document. And often, in your cases, it would probably be mostly the school board. So maybe your board already has a document like that, but there's a few things that you do that they've asked you to do. And if you need to, just create your own document, it can be helpful. But in a larger school, if you have a live document that everyone has access to and it gets updated along the way, that can be really helpful. Okay, I'd like to transition now to just giving you opportunity to ask questions. What kind of questions did you come to this class with that you didn't get answered?
Or, for me, hash out whatever issue or whatever, maybe it wasn't even issues, but whatever thing you thought was all the little details of the day. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you know, the issues that come up. I think it's good, but maybe, I don't know, maybe there's things where we should always just be talking about it. Okay.
So I would probably differentiate this way. Your staff is an excellent place for collaboration to happen. So those kind of discussions are very helpful, and they're, if it gets to a point where it becomes unhealthy gossip, or where it becomes bashing a certain student who has a certain problem, and maybe not even bashing them, but just having somewhat negative conversations. It's not upbuilding, it's kind of a negative, you know, we had to deal with this again today, let me tell you. And then you go into that long story of what happened, and everybody kind of knows, oh yeah, that student does that all the time, and that family has that problem. Okay, so that's not really a very healthy way, but is there a healthy way to talk about those things? Yes. So I would say two things. Number one, collaboration with staff is always in order, because when you are connected and you know what the issues are, that is helpful for you all. Now you know, you have context as you move along, how you're thinking, the way you would handle things, and it gives you maybe a better edge for how to handle things. But when should you go to upper level? If you can't make a decision about something, so if you talk about something and you can't make a decision, you should refer to getting help. But if you can make a decision, if you collaborate, you feel like it's within your power to make this decision, move ahead. Talk about it with your staff. And anytime when you're in doubt, say, hey, we talked about it as staff, but here's what I'm thinking. And I'd just like your feedback before I do it. That might be helpful. I think it's actually very healthy. But I would really caution, you know, we've had different years where we had a really healthy, positive, and uplifting year. And we've had some years where it was challenging to keep that positive perspective. And it was easy to turn some of our after-school conversations almost into that commiserating rather than actually having healthy collaboration. Good question. Anyone else?
How do you know when you're an ideal leader?
How do you know when you're an ideal leader? Okay. Can you expand your question a little bit? Are you wondering whether you have what it takes to be that particular leader? Or rather, am I doing enough for what I was asked? More of that. Okay. I'll tell you this, as long as you have clarity of what you're supposed to lead in, you won't know if you're an ideal leader. You're winging it, right? And if you're winging it, you never know for sure unless you keep asking your school board and say, hey, am I doing enough? I'm winging it, but am I doing enough? And your board member says, yeah, you're doing a great job. Well, how do you know? You can ask them. How do you know I'm doing a good job? What are you looking for? That might be one place you start. You ask your board member, can you tell me a couple of things that you really want to see? If I'm going to be an ideal leader in this school, I will do X, Y, and Z. Can you tell me what that is? That could be really helpful. You have some ideas now of big picture, but maybe for the details of what he's expecting might be helpful for me to go into those details. Any other questions? What scares you the most about being a leader? I know most of us step into it. We're not overly confident. We're a little bit scared about it in a few minutes. Let me ask you that. What scares you the most? Oh, needing to talk to the parents?
Being a target practice.
Oh! Yes, I know. That's scary. Do you have, let me ask you this, in your whole weekend, week here so far, do you have one tool in your bag that will help with that problem? If you feel like you might become the target for the parents, what's one tool you can use that will disarm that in a very gentle, loving way, a Christ-like way? You have an idea?
Humility. Humility.
Humility, yes. Okay, but I'm looking, that's a character trait.
Curious questions.
Curious questions, that's what I want. If you, anytime they want, it feels like, ooh, this is a target. I felt like I was attacked. Curious questions, okay. Doesn't that portray somewhat of a humility? I'm curious what you, I don't know. I don't have all the answers. Can you tell me more? And you begin to ask them curious questions and it just opens you up for them to talk. Now you're not the target. Now you're receiving from them. And maybe you have opinions. Maybe you don't know how to handle it, but you're curious and you're talking. And maybe you say, you know what? I don't even have the answer for that. But I really appreciate your feedback. Would you mind if I think about it and come back to you? And you can talk to your school board. I think that's the end of our time. So I don't know if this was helpful for you. Was it kind of helpful to you?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if this was what you were expecting coming in here. Because we're looking big picture, and this is a nebulous thing to grasp. It's not like they always give you a paper. Here's your job description. Make sure you check off all these things every time. Like, you really, even after all this, you still ask that question, am I an ideal here? And we can talk more about that. But look for grace from God each day. And whenever there is anything anywhere that needs leadership, remember, you're the guy. And if you're not the guy, it's probably the school board, and you probably need to tell it. But otherwise, it's your responsibility. Anything that happens in school, it's your responsibility. Own it as if you were asked to completely own it. You were given the business, you were given the keys, and you were given the responsibility to make it successful. That's your job. Make the school successful and make the school board look really good because you do a really good job. That's actually a good way to do it. I will make my school board look really good because I'll do my job the best I can. All right? That's going to be your gauge. If my school board looks really good, then I'm probably not the leader. Thank you guys for pitching in. I don't know if I gave enough time for question and answer, but question me afterwards. If you go to the Doc for Learning, there's a document on there that has all these pages by Jonas Sauer, and it is called the Who Does What document. You can download it, you can print it off, and I have an extra copy here. If somebody wants it, raise your hand and get the first one. Who Does What? Go make copies of it if you want to. It has the board, and then it has a principle in there. So there's lots of ideas. If you're not sure what you should do, you might get some ideas out of that paper.
On the Doc
for Learning. It's called Who Does What by Jonas Sauer. Just do a search for it. You're dismissed. Thank you very much.